talking with Duke Snider, one of the boys of summer, Hall of Famer, made it into the Hall of Fame 10 years after you retired, was it?
15, I guess. I had to wait 5, and then it took 10 more. About 15 years, because I retired in 64.
So it was an excruciating wait, perhaps.
And I got into the Hall of Fame in 1980.
Mm-hmm. Even though it took a while, if you just look at the stats, they are impressive. You still hold the record for most home runs by a National Leaguer in the World Series. For 5 years or so, you averaged something like 100. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but 114 RBIs a year. You drove in over 100 runs a year. Your lifetime batting average is 296, I think,
something,
and you batted over 300. Five times. You batted 360 something 1 year.
But it was 341.
Was it? Well, it felt like 360. Anyway, it was. I think that there's nobody who'd be embarrassed about batting 341 right now.
No, I led the league that year in 1954, the whole year up until the last week of the season. And on a doubleheader on the next to last Sunday of the season, I went 1-for-10,
mm-hmm.
dropped about 4 or 5 points. And Mays and Mueller caught me. And we went into the last day of the season the following Sunday in virtually a 3-way tie. Mays went 3-for-5. Mueller went 2-for-5. And I went 0-for-3. So I might have gotten the lump a little bit, but I hit the ball hard.
Mm-hmm.
2 of those 3 times at bat, I hit the ball real hard. But there happened to be a glove in front of the ball, so I didn't get a hit.
Does it? Do you get depressed when you hit the ball well and you make out? Or, I mean, does it? Do you value the cheap hit? Does it? Can that break you out of a slump, or does it have to be a well hit ball that gets your confidence back?
They say that things even up. That when you hit a ball hard and someone makes a great play off you, that you get a broken bat single or something like that. And things have a way of evening up. And, mm-hmm. and as far as a hitter is concerned, I know that being the hitter that's in that slump, you begin to think that there are, instead of just 9 players on the opposing team when you're out there playing them, there's about 27 out there because there seems to be someone in front of everything you hit.
Mm-hmm.
But they do even up.
I've always wondered about some of the cliches of baseball. For example, you read again and again from home run hitters, you can't go up there expecting to hit a home run because then you never do. And yet, I was watching a game last night where every player was going up there and swinging from the heels. Do they not listen to themselves, or are they just lying when they talk to the sports writers?
Well, the game sort of dictates your approach. Very seldom have I ever gone to the plate and thought about hitting a home run and hit one.
Mm-hmm.
Those
40 home runs a year were accidents?
I swung hard, and just in case they threw where I was swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the pitchers threw right where I was swinging, and I hit the ball out of the park. But I was a very aggressive hitter, had a big swing, had a home run swing. And I know I mentioned it in the book, Pee Wee one time called me over to sit by him after I got 3-2, count was 3-2, and I choked up on the bat, and I was going to punch a little line drive or whatever to left field as being a left-handed batter, and I had sort of a little punch and Judy swing, and I had a little grounder to short, and Pee-wee called me over after I got back to the bench, and he says, "What are you doing, giving up?" And I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I was trying to punch the ball past short, hit one into left field for a base hit." He says, "That's the way I'm supposed to hit. You're supposed to take that full swing. Even if you miss, you're supposed to take that full swing and hit a double, triple, get in a scoring position. I will sacrifice myself by taking a little punch and Judy swing and try and hit the ball the opposite field and get on base so you can drive me in." But still, the closeness between fan and ball player aren't there like in the old ballparks like Ebbets Field.
In the few moments we have left, let's get back to your life as a manager. You managed in the minor leagues for a few years, but you decided that you'd rather not do that anymore?
Well, I had some ideas that that I could probably become a coach or a major league manager. The opportunity never came. The first year I managed, I took over the Spokane team for Pete Reeser, who had had a heart attack. And the team was in last place when I took the club over, and I didn't improve them one bit. I did not do a good job of managing. I don't think I was ready to admit that I was through as a player, even though I knew physically my knee was gone. And I did not do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have as much talent on that team as I'd like to have had, but I didn't do a good job with the talent I had. Several of those players went on to be pretty good big league ball players. Bill Singer was an outstanding pitcher, and I had Joe Moeller, who turned out to be a pretty good major league pitcher. Al Ferreira, the Bull, who was from Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
he was my player for a while, and I sent Lou Johnson up to the big club, and Lou Johnson had an outstanding career with the mm-hmm. Dodgers. Sweet Lou, they called him in L.A. Then I went on to manage in a rookie league. And that was quite an experience. I mean, you don't
That's
realize...
Teaching. That's more teaching than managing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. You're getting kids right out of college and high school, and it's a lot of fun. And I had a couple of talented players. Ted Sizemore went on to be Rookie of the Year. I had him on my club, and I had Ray Lamb and Bill Grobarkiewicz, who they all got... The three guys from that club got to the big leagues and did a pretty good job. And then I went to Albuquerque and took all three of those guys with me, except I didn't take Grobarkiewicz with me. There's a lot of long names on that rookie team. I had Hawkins Smith.
That's hard part of being a manager.
Heisenrader. I'm telling you, it was tough making the lineup card out.
That's why Casey never even bothered to learn people's names, I'm sure, because they were so long and hard to pronounce.
Yeah, his Canizero was one. He called him Canzaneri, I believe.
He then went on to become a broadcaster,
yes.
Where you have to pronounce the names correctly.
Yeah, I broadcast with San Diego for 3 years and then decided to manage their minor league club in Alexandria, Louisiana, in the Texas League. And to be a successful manager, it's so much easier when you have super talent on your ball club.
Mm.
And I had super talent. And the first year I finished last with Spokane, the next three teams that I managed won.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because of my superb managing. It was because I had superb talent on those ball clubs.
What are you doing now?
I'm retired.
Well, but you're also writing books. Books as wonderful as this should be.
I wanted to mention
written.
That Alexandria team, 15 of the 24 players on that team got to the big league.
Wow, that is impressive.
Some not stay very long, but they got there.
Well, let's hope that you think about managing again. Love
no.
to see you back.
No, I sleep too good at night to manage.